Mass is for last weekend. I went to the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia. This is something Pope St. John Paul II started in the late 80s, and they have met 8 times throughout the world since then, most recently in Philadelphia. 3 years in 2018, they're going to be meeting in Dublin, Ireland. This is the largest World Meeting of Families they've ever had, 17,000 participants, and it was wonderful to see families, mothers and fathers and mothers with baby carriages. Really was wonderful to see so many children at this event, at the end of which the Pope came. I have to admit that the Archdiocese of Philadelphia did a wonderful job with the logistics and the venues. They were spectacular, beautiful. I do have to admit, however, I was a little bit disappointed with our Holy Father. He didn't say a whole lot about the number one crime in our country, which is abortion. He had one line in there about the unborn. And that's all. He never used the word abortion. And they didn't say anything regarding, really, same-sex marriages. In fact, he didn't say that marriage is between a man and woman. I was watching for him to say that because we just had the Supreme Court decision allowing for that in our country. He did say that the covenant between men and women, I guess that's the closest we can get to what he said regarding marriage between a man and a woman. However, when he went back to Rome, he had an audience on Wednesday and summarized in his homily his trip to Cuba and to the United States. And at the end of the summary, he did say that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, it's very providential that we have this gospel reading, this first reading, because it deals with this very issue of what is marriage and how marriage is to be characterized. And what happens when people get divorced? In fact, the church is beginning today, in the next 2.5 weeks, a special synod. Cardinals from around the world are coming together to advise the Pope on marriage and family. There was one a year ago, a synod, and now this is a follow-up to that. And I have to admit, I am very troubled by some of the things that may be coming out of this. There are two factions that are coming together at this synod. One is the more traditional faction, the parish priest faction, I would say. Actually, they're both the parish priest factions. Parish priest has to deal with the young couples, preparing them for marriage, getting them to understand what the nature and obligations of marriage are. In fact, one of the things that the parish priest pulls out, and if you've been married in the Catholic Church in the last 50 years, you've seen a packet like this. This is the marriage form. So everybody in the Diocese of Peoria, every diocese in the United States has something like this. And the pastor goes over with the young couple several questions regarding marriage. And one of the questions reads, "Do you understand the nature and obligation of marriage, and do you agree without any condition or reservation to enter a marriage that is for life? Lifelong marriage. Yes or no?" They say no, well then I can't marry them. "Do you understand the nature and obligation of marriage, and do you agree without any condition or reservation the right to give your spouse the right to have children, to be fruitful in a marriage?" They say no, I can't marry them. If they have a positive will against children, I can't marry them. "Do you accept the obligation of being faithful to your spouse? Are you going to be faithful to your spouse? Yes or no?" They say no, well, I can't marry them. So they have to answer yes to all these questions. "And do you do this of your own free will and without force of any kind? Yes or no?" They say they say yes, so then I can marry them. If they say no, I don't want to be married, well, then I won't marry them. So these questions are presented to every young couple and have been for the last 60 years in the United States or so, actually at some point for 2,000 years, because it's part of the preparation for marriage. That the marriage is for life, marriage is for children, marriage is for fidelity. So we are asking this of all the young couples. And again, if they say yes, I can marry them all. And so I have many young couples fill this out for me. So that's one side of the argument. I've interviewed these young couples directly. Then I stand before the church on their wedding day and have the two marry each other before God and everyone else. But then what happens? Well, life happens. Divorces happen. It's very messy. Divorce hurts the children overall. Mostly, children are devastated by divorce. And so that's the other half of this synod. What to do about divorced and remarried Christians, Catholics? How can we reach out to them? How can we be merciful? Knowing that we have the words of Jesus on the one hand, and their own statements, and then their situation now. For I tell you, many young couples come and they can say yes, 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 but I can see it in their eyes, they have no idea what it means to be a Catholic Christian. They're already perhaps living together, they're already contracepting their sexual acts, that means they already have a will against children that they're bringing into the relationship. They're not going to Sunday Mass. Why? In fact, I asked my young couples, why did you come to me? Why didn't you go to the Justice of the Peace? They usually look at each other, okay? We want to have God. Well, we're good, okay? I said, well, the Justice of the Peace will marry you one Sunday, but two weeks later, if you file the divorce fees, he'll divorce you. He doesn't care about your marriage. He doesn't care about your souls. The Catholic Church, on the other hand, does care. It's concerned about your eternal salvation. And so that's why we have the marriage preparation. Now, the Pope is saying we have to expand that marriage preparation. Good. But if the couple really doesn't understand in the heart of it to be a Catholic Christian, that marriage isn't going to take. They're doing it for some other reason, huh? Because the church is beautiful, or they're pleasing grandma, or some other reason. But they should be here because of another marriage besides their own. The marriage of Jesus and the church. In fact, that's what I say at every wedding mass. At every wedding mass, there are two weddings going on that we're celebrating. Now, this morning we're not having a wedding mass, but we are having a wedding. It's symbology at every mass. And it occurs when we talk about Jesus on the cross. It occurs because we recall his last words, consummatum est. In English, it is consummated. Now that's marriage talk. That's what happens on the wedding night. In the afternoon, the wedding couple exchanges their vows, their ratio. But in the evening, they bring their bodies together in the marriage act. And that's the consummation of the sacrament. That's when the sacrament happens. Because that's the bonding, the one flesh of man and woman. This is what Jesus is referring to in the scriptures. The Pharisees have a problem. They have their own marriage case. John the Baptist handled it one way. They're trying to handle it a different way. The marriage case is this. The king, King Herod, the tetrarch, married his brother's wife. John the Baptist said, you can't do that. This is immoral. Before that, John the Baptist was arrested and eventually had his head cut off. Now, St. Matthew's Gospel tells us as soon as John the Baptist is killed, Jesus goes to Herod's territory. He crosses into his turf, as it were. Okay? And as soon as he does, the Pharisees are there confronting him about divorce. May a man divorce his wife for any reason? Now, back then, there were two rabbis that had two positions. One rabbi said, any reason at all. Any reason. She broke the egg on my Friday. Okay. That's it. The other rabbi said, no, it has to be something serious. He could write a... She says, I divorce you, give it to her in public, and she's divorced. Now, she could not do that to him, by the way. It's only the man could divorce the woman back then. So they're questioning Jesus about divorce. And so Jesus says, there is no divorce in the beginning except for porneia. Porneia. Porneia is a Greek word. We're not exactly sure what it means, but we do have a good idea. And it doesn't mean adultery. This is the Protestant interpretation. A man can divorce his wife except for adultery. Cannot divorce his wife except for adultery. No. What porneia means, the best definition we have is, and I'll say the $5 word first, it's consanguinity. Consanguinity means closeness of blood. That is, you cannot marry your sister. You cannot marry your mother. You cannot marry your aunt. And you cannot marry your brother's wife. And so Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, the marriage here of Herod with his brother's wife really isn't a marriage. Because there's porneia here. This is immoral. So that's what the Pharisees were trying to test him on. So Jesus cites for them in the beginning. He cites Genesis. In the beginning, man leaves his father and mother and joins his wife, clings to his wife. Actually, the Hebrew word there is a lot stronger. The best word we have in English would be cleaves to his wife. Okay. They become one flesh, and cleave has a stronger sexual connotation to it. But they become one flesh, and Jesus repeats that. They are no longer two, but one. So what God has joined, man is not to divide. So we have this problem in our day and age trying to get people to live up to their commitments, live up to their marital vows. My job as a pastor or as a bishop, we are to uphold the church's teaching. We uphold the sacrament of it all. Again, we're called to try to be merciful and deal with these issues, the real life issues of divorce and remarriage. So this is what's going to be happening in the Synod this next 2.5 weeks. I invite you now to pray for the Pope, pray for the cardinals. I mean, not those cardinals, the other cardinals in Rome, okay? Pray for their deliberations. Pray for the sanctity of marriage must be upheld. But also pray for the many who have divorced and remarried. There's so many who no longer understand the commitment. But it all goes down to what Jesus says at the end of the Gospel. I think this is part of the marriage thing. He calls children in front of him and says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child cannot enter it. That is, we have to be submissive to God's will. We have to be submissive like children are to their parents. We have to be willing to do what is asked of us by our Heavenly Father. So as we continue with this Mass, let us pray that we will be childlike in our acceptance of the faith, that we will do what we say the Our Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.